Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello. I hope you're well. Ooh, I hope you're well. I hope you're well. Are you okay? Maybe I'm not so okay. Thanks for listening. Episode 207, and you can find any links, there's a lot of links, any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode207. Today, we're having a little chat about fundraising, specifically a fabulous theater fundraising idea. Don't you want to learn about a fabulous theater fundraising idea that you could do? Of course. Worse. So our guest today has that fabulous theater fundraising idea. And it's not just an idea. She implemented it. She implements it every year, and she's going to share it with all of you. So get your pen and paper, get your phone out to take notes, listen in, get all the info. So it's something that you can implement this fall. And while we're talking about the fall, if you are looking for the perfect play to produce around Halloween. Yes, this all fits in with our talk today. I'm doing a little teaser. Make sure you click the show notes. We have so many great plays that delve into theatrical horror, zombie makeup unit, anyone. So click the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode207. And I'm going to share more news, more titles at the end. I'll see you on the other side. I am here talking to Alyssa Pittner. Hello, Alyssa.
Hi.
All right. Now, tell everyone where in the world you are right now.
I am in Queen Creek, Arizona at Castile High School.
Very cool. And the weather, is it still warm there?
Oh, yeah. It's not even like really sweater weather yet. So, oh, well.
I know, eh? Oh, too bad.
I don't have to shovel snow or scrape ice off my windshield. My life's so hard.
And how long have you been a drama teacher?
I've been a drama teacher now for 3 years.
Oh, so cool. Okay.
I'm a newbie. But
you're new. Okay. So let's talk about that for a second. What made you want to become a teacher, and specifically a drama teacher?
I've wanted to be a teacher since I was a kid, because I got some weird thrill when I was younger of grading my brother's homework, which I don't get that thrill anymore as an actual teacher. But when I was in high school, I had a theater teacher who let me direct a one act, and I fell in love. It was the coolest experience of my high school career. And I was like, I want to do this forever. And then I realized I could. So that's what I'm doing.
And did you ever, because we know I talk to a lot of people who they start off in that performing track, and then the love of teaching overtakes, or was it always teaching for you?
I love performing, and I loved performing in high school, and I thought about pursuing it, but I wanted to be a teacher. So,
oh, that's good.
That's where I stayed.
We need people who actually love teaching and are and want to do it. So, you know, that's an actual good thing. So you've been doing it for 3 years now. What is something that has surprised you about being a teacher?
Something that surprised me. The amount of paperwork is insane sometimes, like IEP paperwork, 504, that kind of stuff. And like how much, as like a theater teacher, especially how much you have to like over communicate things like rehearsal schedules and where you're going to be and what time things are over and do you need to bring food? It's way more work than I ever thought my theater teachers did. And so every time I see them now, I'm like, God bless you. Thank you so much. You're amazing. So that kind of stuff. I knew they did, but I didn't know how much we did.
That's right. Thank your teachers, folks. Thank your teachers. And what's the, and now 3 years down the line, what's the one thing that you love about teaching?
I love watching my kids perform, like their final performance scenes at the end of the semester, and watching them go through the rehearsal process, I think is probably the most rewarding thing that we do. Cause it's like, you're doing it. And especially kids that didn't think they could do it or didn't think they could memorize all those lines. Like, it's really rewarding watching them do it. And they always do pretty well. So it's like, you did it. You can do this. So that's exciting.
Oh, it's that whole growth thing, you know, like they can actually get better at something. Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
They never know that they can, but they can.
So we're here today and we are talking fundraising, and we're talking about a very specific fundraising idea that you implement. And I think that there is no better time of year than right before Christmas to talk about doing a haunted house. I think that I think we've planned this perfectly.
Timing is everything.
The timing is, as they say, timing is everything. But why not? You know, like, actually, I think that any time is a good time to talk about a good fundraising idea. And just loved, you know, hearing the discussion about putting together this haunted house. And I knew that I wanted to have you want to talk about it. So let's start from the very beginning. Why did you decide to do a haunted house?
It's kind of a throwback again to my high school, because my high school teacher did it my senior year and it was really fun and it got a lot of people in, and it was probably our biggest fundraiser of the year. So I was like, why don't we do that? And I just kind of went for it.
Awesome. Okay. And then, how long do you take to prepare to put on your haunted house?
We start preparing pretty soon after we get back from summer break. So probably like 3 to 4 weeks into school, just not even like really gathering things, just brainstorming ideas and deciding who's going to do what and that kind of stuff. But yeah, we start pretty early.
So what do you say, you take like a month, like 2 months to plan everything from beginning to end?
Just about. Yeah.
Okay. See, that's good to know.
You can do most of the planning.
That's so good too.
It's really great for me, because when I say I do the planning, it's really they do most of the planning. So I just am there to approve. That's kind of nice.
We have a comment that someone is suggesting that we're doing a haunted house now. No, we're not doing haunted houses now. We're just talking about doing a haunted house now. You're absolutely right, Anna. Doing a haunted house at Halloween, that's exactly when you should do it. That's the perfect time. We're just talking about it. Alyssa did one in October, and we just have the time to talk about it now, so that's why we're talking about it now. And actually, I'm doing this as a podcast, and that's going to come out later in the next year, and it'll make much more sense. Yes, it will. Okay, so it takes about 2 months. And when you are, what is the structure of your haunted house? Is like, where does it take place? How long is it? What is the structure of putting it together?
We do ours in the science labs of our campus. So the reason being is because there's tile floors, so you can do fake blood everywhere. And they each have two doors, so it makes a really easy path through the haunted house, because you can use both the doors and go through instead of having to like turn around. So we have about 10 rooms. So the total time through the haunted house is like around 10 minutes, unless my kids rush. And then pacing this year was a slight issue, but it's usually around 10 minutes.
That's pretty awesome. Like, did you have to, was it hard to convince the science department to let you do this?
No, because my admin was pretty supportive and their department chair was really supportive. I'm not sure they were all super thrilled with the idea, but I work at a really supportive school, which is lucky. The one thing that we need to do better is making sure that like we're all on the same page of like, make sure your room doesn't have anything in it that you don't want kids to touch or see, because there's way more of them than there are of me. So that was something that we probably should have communicated a little better, because a few things got like bumped around, like papers that needed to be graded and like a project got bumped and fell over. And like, we should have just communicated better that stuff needs to be put away so that they stay supportive forever. But they were pretty on board with it when I told them, like, we'll clean up and we'll make sure it's as good as it possibly can be when we leave. So,
well, that's like 10 rooms plus students plus, oh, yeah, like, what a, when you talk about communication, like, what a huge communication project this sounds like. Yeah. And what an excellent, you know, if you're talking about, if you've got students who maybe, do you have students who volunteer for this, or is this a class that puts it together?
Nope, it's all volunteer. So my drama club officers are the ones that plan everything, and then my drama club students can participate, and then I also open it up to kids in my drama and theater arts classes. So it's really kind of like a free-for-all. If you want to participate, you sign up. We do a sign-up genius, so they can sign up for which room they want to be in. So it's It's fun, but it is a lot of kids.
Yeah.
We had over 100 kids participate this year. So,
like going through or actually in the playing of it?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
It was nuts. Yeah. So,
do you have a student stage manager who organizes things? Or is that your officers?
Well, I had my officers. I told them they weren't allowed to act this year. They had to be like security monitoring, making sure everything was going okay. So that helped. And then this year, what we also did was we got more parents involved. So, because there's three teachers on campus that help with like the theater program, which is lucky for me, but there's only three of us that are like actual faculty. So we got a bunch of parents to come in and help like monitor. And that was extremely helpful because then if there were problems, it wasn't like we needed to run and handle it because it was already being handled by another adult. So
yeah,
that was nice. Still a lot more kids than adults, which is a ratio I'd like to fix in the future, but
how many folks went through your haunted house?
We had over 500. I want to say this year it was like 540 go through the haunted house, which included like duplicates. So there's less people, but 540 ish paid to go through.
Yeah. And then how much did you charge? Yay. How much did you charge for a visit?
$5.
Okay.
So we did an adult haunted house, well, adult, like the big kids haunted house. And then we did a little kids playhouse, which was like decorating pumpkins and coloring and doing Halloween fun stuff that's not scary. And that was $3. So that way parents could bring, because we have huge families at my school. So that way parents could bring their older kids and their younger kids and just be there all at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay. So we're going to let someone else do the math. So, you know, $5 a ticket, 500 people going through your haunted house. And then let's go on the other side. How much of a budget did you have to spend on your haunted house?
We didn't spend anything.
You didn't spend anything. Actually, how come? How did that work out?
We did a sign up genius for donations. So I told students, if you want to participate, you need to bring at least one item. We had like a whole list of things that they could bring. So some kids brought in, like they had black lights at home or strobe lights at home, but some kids brought in like candy or like one pumpkin, or like they didn't have to bring in a lot. They just needed to bring in one thing. And since I had so many kids participate, like we got everything that we needed pretty quickly. So that was really nice. Last year we spent around 100 just because we didn't let as many kids participate. So last year we only spent 100. This year we didn't spend anything.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
So
did you make the fake blood?
Oh yeah. Yep. So we had a hair and makeup crew as like part of the haunted house, like people that could participate, and they were responsible while everyone else was setting up the haunted house. They were in there making fake blood, like huge batches of fake blood. So that was their job for the first like 3 hours of setup.
What's your recipe?
They're more on top of this than I am. They did cornstarch, powdered sugar, red food dye. There was blue and green food dye in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were doing all sorts of weird stuff back there. I was like, you guys can handle the gross stuff. I'll stay away from that.
But isn't that great? Okay. So let's just, you know, just to break down numbers, that one, you're not doing this alone. I think that's pretty important. When you're talking about effective fundraisers, one, you're not doing it alone. Two, that you have senior students who are more than one who are sort of, who have to organize it, that they organize it. They're the ones who created it. Did they come up when they were creating it? Did they, was there a very well-written out script? Did they do scenarios? How did they write down the whole thing?
So what we do is they come up with like a concept for their rooms, like insane asylum. We did like a crazy clown room, a mask room. Like they come up with what they want their room to be. And then they give me a list of everything that they need for their room, like what is in their vision. And then I get to tell them yes or no to those things. Like some kids want, one kid asked for a refrigerator this year to put a head in. And I was like, I'm really sorry. There's no way we're going to get a refrigerator. And they tell me how many actors they need and then what they want their actors to wear. So I can put all that in the signups, because kids also brought their own costumes this year, which was really, really helpful because we were in the middle of musical season and I was like, I'm not doing costumes for this. So they come up with the concept and they plan everything. And then it's not scripted at all. They just we have like two meetings before the haunted house where they tell their actors what they want them to do and like the different things they want them to say. And they kind of assign like mini roles, like, okay, you're going to be one of the patients that's being operated on and you're going to be the crazy doctor. And they kind of tell them like what they want. And then everything's basically improv through the whole thing. So there's a lot of screaming, but it goes very well. So I think
it's a notion of that there is some structure, which I think is probably important to get out there, that someone is creating a structure for the room and who the characters are. And I love the idea that anybody who wants to participate, because you are dealing with volunteers and you're trying to do this as a fundraiser, that they have to bring their own costumes. And that's sort of a element to their participation. And also that they're given a structure in terms of who they are, but then they're also given some flexibility within that structure that they can have some fun. I'm sure that like it must be the most fun that some of these students have all year, you know, just being some creatures and getting to scare some people in a structured environment.
Oh yeah. They love it. It's hilarious. They have more energy at the end of the night than they do at the beginning of the night. And all the adults are like, oh my gosh, let's go home. And they're all like, whoa, that's amazing. So it's a lot of fun.
That right there in a nutshell is the difference between being 15 and being 35, 45. It's like at the end of the day, you're like, I'm done. And they're like, we could go all night. Let's go.
Yeah. They were literally running around the hallways this year. And I'm like, no, guys, it's too much. We got to tone it down. You got to be calm.
How many nights did you run it?
Oh, we just ran it the one night. So it's kind of like a one and done thing. So
you had 500 people come through your haunted house in one night?
Yeah. I really emphasized this year that they had kids that participated really needed to push it on their social media. And then I actually ran a contest in my drama classes of whichever class posted the most about it on social media, won a donut party. So
yeah,
whatever works.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so here. So we're talking about A, that you're not doing it alone. Mm-hmm. B, that there is a structure. Mm-hmm. C, that if people want to volunteer, if people are going to participate, that they're bringing their own costumes. Mm-hmm. D, marketing. Get your students to do your marketing for you. Yeah. It's free and get them on social. And I love the idea of an incentive, you know, that give, why not, you know, give them a, you know, donut parties is an excellent idea to get them talking about it and obviously it worked amazingly well. I think 500 people in one night. How long did you run it?
We went from 6:30 to 9 o'clock at night.
I think that's really awesome. Did you have the kids, the younger kids? And that, I think also it's a brilliant idea to incorporate, levels, right? Here's the big kids, but there are also the little kids. Have you done that before?
So we did it last year too. But this year went better because last year we didn't think that many little kids would come just because of the time of night, but we had a lot of little kids, so we didn't have enough space for them. So this year they had like their whole own little separate wing of the building to spread out because there was a lot of them, which was nice because then their parents don't have to like be sardines in the room, like watching them paint. They got to like sit down and relax and stuff. So that was nice.
That's pretty awesome. So why do you think, because I think that the most amazing thing too is that you have support and that you have admin support and that you basically were able to kind of rule the school for after hours for a day. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is? Because I know some people listening are not in that situation. They don't have admin support. What advice would you give to sort of help cultivate that?
I think what helped us with getting admin support of this event was that when we first proposed it last year, we had a very clear plan of what we wanted it to look like. And we had kind of laid out like, here's what's going to happen. Here's how we're going to do this thing. And here's how many kids there's going to be. And like, there's going to be this many adults there and that kind of thing. And they got to ask us questions about like, okay, like how gory is it going to be? Cause we don't want to like make people cry. And so they were able to like voice concerns and then we could like solve those problems before they arose. So like having that open line of communication with them, I think was really helpful. And then the other thing that kind of helped us was that I got last year, not this year, it didn't work out this year, but last year I got the student council involved as well. So they were able to use it as a fundraiser. So I think it was kind of hard for my admin to say no to two fundraisers in one go. So we teamed up with Sugo last year, and they did like a fair outside and we did our thing inside. So then it was like a big school-wide thing. So I think that kind of helped too, because we phrased it as more of like a community building thing than just like a we're making money thing, even though we did make money. Yeah.
buzzwords, community, you know. Actually, I think that I think you hit on two really key points again for a successful fundraising is the plan. And that if you can prove, because like, you know, you say haunted house and oh, there's going to be fake blood and it's all going to be improv and it's all this and that, I'm sure it would send any admin screaming to the hills.
Oh, yeah.
But to have an outlined plan and the whole notion of problem solving to solve, you know, to say we're going to solve the problems that any issues that are going to come up beforehand. That I think is brilliant. And also if you can, collaborating with anybody else on campus, anyone else, any other groups in your school, to make a collaborative effort. I think that's another great way to get admin on your side, mm-hmm. you know, just to make it more appealing, right? More appealing. That's a good word. Okay. So as we sort of wrap up here. So you've mentioned a couple of things. What are the things you sort of learned from this experience this year that you are like to perhaps change and evolve next year?
Definitely that I still want there to be more adults there, just because we had so many kids and there were a few problems. I would like there to be more adults there next year. And I'd like there to be more teachers there. So I actually talked to admin after the event and I asked them if we could make it an event where like teachers sign up, because our school does like, you have to sign up for so many dances a year and that kind of thing. So I asked if we could add that into the rotation of can teachers chaperone that, and that would count as one of our chaperone duties for the year. So I'm hoping that goes through next year so that I have more adults on there. The other thing I think again would just be better communication with the teachers if you're going to use their classrooms of like what exactly is going to happen. Because where we ran into problems this year was with teachers who weren't there last year, who hadn't gone through the haunted house experience before. So like things being left out and that kind of stuff. And then my kids touching it. And like, if we had communicated better that like the kids are going to be crawling all over your room and there's going to be like crazy things happening, then maybe those problems could have been avoided better. So those are the two things that I want to work on for next year, is just more adults and better communication with teachers. So hopefully it goes well.
Awesome. Awesome. And then what was your biggest success?
I think again, just watching the kids pull off something that they'd planned and they worked hard on, and because they get there at like 1, 2 p.m. and they set everything up and then they perform and then they tear it all down the same day, because we do it on a Saturday. So like watching them have ownership of this process, especially kids that don't really do the plays or the musicals, like watching them create this haunted house and then be responsible for running it and making sure it's successful and tearing it down. Like, it was just a really fun experience, because a lot of those kids don't get to do that super often, especially like my athletes and that kind of thing. So it was fun to watch them do theater in a way that made me money and also gave them ownership. So it was just a fun day. Their energy is fun.
You know, with so many activities happening in schools everywhere, like there are just so many students who can't do it all, right?
Yeah.
They can't do sports and they can't do plays and they can't do band. They can't be everywhere at once. And even though I know so many of them try.
Oh yeah.
That what a great opportunity to give those students an opportunity to play, mm-hmm. and an opportunity to perform. And it's all done. It's in, you're out. It's one day, it's one night. And that it's something that again, I love the idea that is student run and student developed and student performed. I think those are going to be the memories, mm-hmm. that they keep with them. And it's so much better that if it comes from them rather than something that you tell them they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I think I think those are going to be your best. I think that's a good thing to end on, is those are going to really be your best fundraisers, is the stuff that they come up with and they develop,
mm-hmm.
and you just have the framework for it. I know we talked to another a teacher who does coffee houses, and it's the same principle, you know, that it's just here's the framework, we're going to do this. you have to bring this and you get one rehearsal to you, or you have to audition with your piece. You get one tech rehearsal, you're in, and then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing, you know, it's students derived that also helps out the department at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo. Best of both worlds.
And what's your one piece of advice for someone who is thinking about next year, later next year, much later next year, of trying to put something like this together? What would be your one piece of advice for a teacher?
Come up with a game plan early, especially where you're going to do it exactly, and have a plan of how people are going to get through. Because that's, I think, the biggest like planning hurdle is deciding where it's actually going to take place and how you're going to get guests through the haunted house. Because from there, everything kind of falls into place. But you need that plan before you can really do anything else, I think.
Planning is life. Planning is good. Planning's always good. Checklists.
Oh, yeah.
Make your checklists. Alyssa, thank you so much for taking about a couple of minutes and just sharing your experience and sharing an awesome fundraising idea. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Thank you, Alyssa. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. All right, it's time to get your horror on. That's very hard to say. Horror on. Let's talk about horror. Specifically, ghosts, ghouls, monsters, headless horsemen. You can do a horror play, a play that your students are going to love and perfect for that October production slot. We've got them all. They're in the show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode7. But let me tell you all about them. We have Horror Movie 101, Failing Can Be Deadly, a collection of 5 hauntingly humorous plays. Do them individually, do them all. Shuddersome, Tales of Poe. That's Edgar Allan Poe. And this one is one of mine. And I gotta tell you, it was really hard to write. And I'm so thrilled with it. I love seeing it performed. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Well, there's your Headless Horseman. And there is some instructions on how to do the Headless Horseman. The Bottom of the Lake. Stephen Stack knows how to write for our horror and comedy. This one's got ghost stories and urban legends. Frankenstein Among the Dead, Laramie Dean. Oh, this is new. It's a fabulous adaptation of this monster tale with 2 fabulous, fabulous, fabulous roles for women. And want something middle school appropriate with also amazing characters? Frankenstein versus the Horrendous Goo. We got Ashland Falls, a spine-tingling comedy thriller. More comedy and more horror. Close Encounters of the Undead Kind. 3 ghoulish and delightful plays. And The Haunting of Chip Lake Lodge. I love this play. A determined ghost will make this prom the most bizarre night ever. Again, you can find links to all of these plays in the show notes. theaterfolk.com/episode207, or just head on over to theaterfolk.com. Please. We'd love it if you did. So finally, where can you find this podcast? Go to theaterfolk.com/podcast, and there you will see we are on iTunes, Android, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. That's theaterfolk.com/podcast. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.